High in the clouds, somewhere above the red city of Agmar, a huge bird glides, surveying the world around it. On the horizon, it sees a dark shadow. After talking with its Ravenmount partner, decides to go check it out. Word goes out. Other ravens start to form up in formation nearby to fly towards this strange, dark presence. As they approach, it becomes clear that this is a familiar shape. One that they've seen largely at a distance, frustratingly at a distance, for some time now. But where before there would be tactics, attacks, schemes, there is a cautious optimism. Eventually, the birds get close enough. And as they approach, they all in unison rotate slightly in midair as kind of a signal and wait for some sort of signal in return from this aerial skyship. Luckily, today, they see friendly faces aboard. Who is the first of the Golden Tree Guilders to respond to their friends, the Ravenmounts, aboard this skyship?
So what the Ravenmounts see atop the Skystalker, this legendary sky-whaling ship. Instead of the usual, flag that sits atop the mast of this ancient mechanical wonder, the Ravenmounts instead see two small figures just sort of holding on to the top of this wooden mast. The first is a small blue frog creature wearing a tricorn hat, a billowing ropey cape that looks like a net folded up many times, and a single eye patch over one of his eyes as he clings on to this mast. And flying alongside him is a majestic flag with a large green frog drawn in crayon as the new mascot for the Skystalker.
Sure. Of course it would be. That's definitely the symbol of the whole situation.
And beneath this small blue frog is a much larger green frog. This is Checkers and Mango, the resident frog stack of the Golden Tree Guild and new captain of the Skystalker.
We haven't on air discussed, labels or anything like that. I'm sure that will be a contentious point.
Order of command.
Yeah, exactly.
And crying out over the distance, you just hear Checkers say, "Land ho!"
Then from slightly behind Checkers, on the ground where the mast meets the deck, there is another voice that basically says,
"Even if you keep saying that, it still doesn't make it true. It's been land the entire time."
And who is saying these things?
And saying those things is Selv Asterlin, the Dragonborn monk. He is a silver dragonborn standing just under 6.5 feet tall and wearing a mostly red but kind of trimmed with gold gi, just a comfortable, loose-fitting clothing. And he's just keeping a lookout, just a quick eye on Checkers. But he's also standing next to the former captain of the sky vessel, and he looks like he's trying to learn the operations of the skyship.
So
I'm playing Kaskrin, and Kaskrin Brightmane is a small, muscular, extremely handsome, very grizzled dwarf. And he is at this moment, as we are entering the airspace of Agmar, role-playing being a pirate, role-playing being kind of a ship's, part of the ship's crew.
Being a deckhand?
Yeah, a deckhand. And so he is like glistening with sweat. He's like pulling at these ropes. He's got like, he's like not wearing a shirt. It's like rolled out.
Gambeson off.
Yeah, right.
Glistening.
Just like, yeah, those muscles are roiling as he's like pulling on these ropes trying to like.
How dad bod is he? Yeah, how shredded is Kaskrin?
He's got a gut, but you can tell like there's a lot
but
of.
But it's like muscle
yeah,
gut.
Yeah, it's like a muscle gut. Yeah, like his arms are like, you know, the dad arms, the construction arms.
I just want to make sure that our erotic fan drawers.
It gets worse from here, let me tell you.
Okay, wait.
Worse.
I mean, more erotic.
How much chest hair does Kaskrin have? And is it bright white?
That's
as well?
Interesting.
I'm going to go with a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
So he's got his second beard.
Does his beard disappear into?
Yeah, he's got the beard, he's got the braids, the jangles. And it's like there's a flowing breeze as he's like yelling orders and like, hoist the mizzen mast! And it's like, hard to port! And it's just like all of these things. He's like yelling the stuff.
Really feels like you're really chomping another dwarf's nautical flavor.
There might be a secret competition happening.
Compensating for anything, I'm sure.
The question is how much nyar does Cass put into what he's saying?
Ooh, I don't think he's quite there yet. I think he's working on it.
That's advanced pirating.
Yeah, he's not there yet. But anyway, that's Kaskrin.
The final member of the Golden Tree Guild, Velasca Carter, comes up from below deck. She has a journal in her hand that she's writing in. She's wearing studded leather armor and is putting her Rachmarian, would that be it? Rachmarian sunglasses on, which look like a little mask around her eyes as she comes back into the bright sun. She has short brown hair, stands 5 foot nothing in her late teens. Has it been a year? Has she turned 90? Is it almost Val's birthday?
It hasn't been. It could almost be her birthday, absolutely. But it's been like 6 months or
it's
something.
It's wild how D&D time works.
Always.
And she comes above deck, back to the sun, having been journaling about all the things that this pirate crew knew about sky whales, because unfortunately they are the experts that Rixia has on them, and just looks up at Checkers, looks to Selv, sees Kaskrin is busy hoisting
it's the same
sail.
Rope over and over again, like
just going in a
doing circle. Reps, know, and like kind of looks between Cass and Selv, it's like settles on Selv. Are we actually close this time, or is he just still shouting it for fun?
No, it's Agmar is within sight, and Raven mounts.
At that, Val like perks up and runs to the side of the ship to get a better look at the Raven mounts coming in.
So the birds all circle around the ship, kind of taking you all in. But none of them land. They all just kind of all join in formation with you guys as you head back towards the city. And eventually, you see in a very stark way that you have rarely seen from this angle before, the unnatural red that are the walls of the city sticking out amongst the browns and greens and oranges of the turning fall that you guys now find yourselves in. And very quickly, people notice. I'll ask, where would you guys like to park your skyship for the moment? Which I would like us all to pause for a moment and appreciate the gravity of that sentence. Yes, Sophie.
I propose we park it outside right next to the Bones headquarters and have them keep an eye on the pirates.
Just immediate.
You know? We're not grounding them, but they are getting babysitters.
That makes sense.
But I'm not the captain. I suggest that as I look at the other captain and hope that...
Admiral Captain Checkers, where's the Sky Stalker going in the Red City of Agmar?
So a lot of ideas are going through Checker's head. You know, maybe we park it on top of the Ruby Citadel. Maybe we park it at the Waveless Lake.
Some are being said in Val's voice.
Yeah.
That are just, it's very weird that Val's voice would be inside of Checker's
head. Hey, what are you, Val can say it out loud and in your head. What about parking it by the bones? Remember, Agmar has a protective barrier over it. And we cannot fly into it without risking great harm to this ship.
Oh, no. We can fly into it.
But Checkers has had a change of heart recently. He knows that he is responsible for the well-being of the captain and his crew. And he wants to make a good first impression on the people of Agmar. So he'll take Val's excellent, wise suggestion, tell the captain, you know, make for the building outside of Agmar, the Bones headquarters, and we'll start flying our way there to pick up our babysitters.
Can I also actually ask, like, can you remind me what the ship looks like?
Yes.
Because I really want to just envision this thing in all its glory.
Thank you. I meant to earlier, and I think now is the perfect time, because coming up on the Red City, what all of these people are seeing, again, flying at the head of a V of Raven Mounts, is a very large ship, probably 60 plus feet long. It is a little bit run down as far as things go, but certainly still skyworthy. There are patches here and there in her hull, but mostly what catches the eye, other than the fact that it's, you know, a giant ship floating through the sky, is the huge number of billowing sails that go in all sorts of strange directions. And most notably, they all seem to like kind of flow backwards in a very aerodynamic kind of way, almost like fins of a tropical fish that are, again, just kind of sprouting out with lots of spines and strange constructions. The group of you eventually make your way over to the airspace of the Bones, and a large crowd has already started gathering. No one comes to the Bones area because, for many reasons, it's out on the, you know, kind of towards the outskirts of the city, but also because, well, the Bones Manor is a little bit creepy. But boy, howdy, are quite a few people here right at this moment, including many members of the Red Guard. This kind of loud chattering crowd. Again, people are emptying out of the city, basically. Maybe with not as much self-preservation as they maybe should have, but, you know, they know the Raven Mount, so that's got to be probably a good thing. And as soon as they see that you guys step out of the ship, a cheer goes up, because this is essentially the sickest thing anyone has ever seen here in the city. And
suck it, Vert and Wave.
Yeah. I was just about to say, pose for the portrait so that we can send it to them.
And the whole, everyone comes almost like rushing up. I don't know how far you guys are parked up above the ground. Are you like hovering just a few feet off of it? Are you rappelling
high,
down?
High up, we are rappelling down.
Reasonable.
Would be Val's suggestion to the Admiral Captain.
we got to use those belts.
It's
like,
a pretty dramatic
awesome.
Entrance for sure.
The captain will also be coming down with us as a suggestion to the Admiral Captain.
Oh, yeah. I assume everyone will be at some point. As you guys are rappelling down, people are like craning up and trying to like almost like crowd the rope a little bit, to the point where there's a couple times where people have to be like grabbed out of the way by guardsmen to be like, they're going to land on you. Move.
I was going to say, Val might have sent a sending to let Vina know what's happening.
That makes a lot of sense. So they're,
you know, flying a skyship above her. I know it's not her city, but her city. You know, this is a decorum.
She appreciates the heads up for certain. And so the Red Guard is a little bit more organized in their awe and kind of whatnot, and their reaction to it. And each time one of you guys drops, you get, you know, big claps on the shoulder. Jack Brill, Namgar are both there. You see Vina eventually is kind of doing a little bit of crowd control, but eventually steps up and starts kind of shaking your guys' hands, knowing that this was a job well done and mission successful. And eventually, as you guys have all landed, all the Raven Mounts now have all descended, and all of them, all five of them probably who were up there, all come rushing up to you guys and start just also shaking hands and be like, congratulating you. Oh my gosh. Thanking you. Juniper, the halfling, is there and is practically shaking you guys to be like, oh my gosh, great job.
Val is trying to communicate that, like, hey, this isn't cut and dry. It's a complicated situation. I need you to be ready for the next person who comes down this road.
Yep.
And I'm going to say, as Val is sort of mind-linking this to Juniper.
Oh, Val's just saying this out loud because she's trying to say this to, like, everyone around. Because it's not just Juniper, I'm sure, who has this, like, vendetta against the Sky Stalker and its crew. Val is trying to be like, hey, everybody.
It's like we're not taking him to execution.
Thank you for the claps.
We're not going to move directly to murder.
I was ready, and then I said someone called a timeout, and now we have to, you know, take a look at our own morality.
And now you are all you're all people managers. Yes.
And Checkers is going to go up to Juniper and be like, Juniper, look, it's on my trading card. And I'll pull out the Captain Livingstone trading card signed. He should be down here any moment.
Juniper takes this, looks down at it, is processing what he is seeing and what you've said and what that might mean.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks up at you when behind you, you hear a weighty thump as the subject of your trading card lands behind you. Once he lands, the vibe changes
the vibe
a bit.
Changes.
We'll start with the easier vibe. The crowd is like a little confused, but also kind of into it.
He is an attractive dwarf.
He's a striking figure, just straight out of like the cover of a trashy adventure book, right? Also eye-patched, big beard, rippling muscles. Still, his hair is still kind of a little bit wet. From the night before, a lot of braids, that sort of thing, but he's really working it. And
Jaspin just can't win.
Yeah, alas. So the crowd is a little startled. They don't know who this is. The members of the Red Guard were expecting this. They had been kind of informed ahead of time. And the Raven Mounts. Would you have reached out to the Raven Mounts?
Yeah. Unless otherwise, I think ascending to Vena and the Raven Mounts would be...
Yeah, I think probably the city...
Or Vena could have told them as well. More of a just like, would you have intentionally obfuscated this information?
No. Yeah.
I think Val would have been like, hey, Vena, as the head of the city, you are getting this information. Please disperse it to all who might be...
Interested in the information.
Interested in the information. And also maybe like the giant flying birds who would probably be the first to see us. And, you know... Give them a heads up.
The Raven Mounts look at this man, maybe for one of the only times, really, because there had been a pretty lengthy cat. I would say cat and mouse, but it's in classic Venture Brothers fashion is cat and also cat game that has been going on for some time now. And Juniper looks back down at Checkers and hands you the trading card. And he sets his jaw. I guess I have a question. Is the captain or the other crew members who are now starting to land, are they in restraints? What are the optics that you guys are pushing in this moment?
I think Checkers would insist that they are not in restraints. They're definitely not armed. Like, we definitely, you know, removed all their big weapons and everything. And sort of let them know that this was going to be the plan and they were going to come down and introduce themselves, essentially. But no, I would say that they're not in restraints.
Juniper kind of sets his jaw a little bit and leans toward Checkers. I don't know that he knows the extent of Checkers' role in all of this, but you just happen to be the closest one. And looking directly into your eyes... says, I hope you know what you guys are doing. I hope you find them a useful tool protecting the city.
And Checkers knows enough about Juniper's history to know that he wasn't just going to be okay with this, you know. But Checkers is really hoping that maybe this can be the start of, if not a working relationship with the Skystalker in defense of Agmar, then maybe just acceptance of the fact that this is something that we had to do. So he just looks Juniper in the eye and goes, yeah, me too, Juniper. Me too. But in kind of a more optimistic way.
Mm-hmm. He chews on his lip a little, looks back above your head at Silvertooth Livingstone, and Juniper says, well, you four are the Guilders. I hope I don't have to say I told you so. Be safe. And he and the other Raven Mounts all turn and head back to their birds and kick up a big cloud of dust. And since you guys are close to the Bones Manor, probably a lot of weird dead grass and ash yeah. and such. Eventually, the rest of the crew disembarks.
And actually, Selv will be the last one down, just to make sure that one of us is up there while everybody...
Counting accordingly?
Yes.
And off to the side, one of the... You guys see several members of the Bones emerge, kind of very, very silently, very out of the way. And since, Selv, you were the last one who came down, one comes up to you and kind of just has a quick side conversation, who, again, they have also been kind of informed of your guys' wishes. And it's one that you guys, you know, don't really know, just one of the many Bones. And they just kind of extend their gauntleted hand to take one of the repel devices to go back up to the
gotcha.
Ship.
Gotcha. Okay. Selv will kind of look at it and almost begin to, like, go to shake their hand and then realize that that's not what they're going for. And then pass over the harness or whatever that will take them.
There's the awkward where you...
Up.
Then the Bones tries to go in for the handshake, but it's too late, and yeah. it's just two awkward people trying their best.
Luckily, there is Captain Livingstone being there to distract from anybody actually seeing this awkward exchange.
Genuinely, probably.
And the Bones and I decide silently, we just decide to never speak of this.
Is that the Bones' thing? Like, which one is this?
Where the awkward?
Like, yeah, this is the awkward. Yeah,
yeah. I was trying to come up with if there's a good joke.
The unsocial?
Yeah. I'm going to workshop one, but for sure. God, okay.
It was planned all along.
Yeah. Things to think about. I'll have an answer for you maybe by the end of the session. Vina Calvetta comes up to you guys and says, all right, let's give everyone a little bit of space here. Guards, get everyone back inside. And then immediately Jack Brill and Namgar are like, all right, let's go, everyone. Clear it up. Let's go. You've seen enough. You can see it from inside the city just as well.
And Kaskrin's like almost having to like pull. He's like kind of getting pulled away from some of the guard. And like, because he was talking animatedly with Jack Brill mm-hmm. and Namgar, like the rest of the guard. Because in his mind, this was like a perfect success. You know, we got the thing we needed to. The fact that we also have the crew is, like, a bonus. And so he's, like, celebrating. He's, you know, having a good time. And when everyone starts kind of moving back into the city, that's when he starts to kind of bring himself back together, bring himself back to the group, and, you know, kind of has this conversation with Vina.
So, eventually, the miniature crowd that has come, including many people, many stragglers who are still trying to make it out and see it and are really complaining about how, like, oh, but they got to see it and come on.
Are they all the Frog Squad?
Yeah.
there is several children and various unchaperoned children who
yes.
are definitely may or may not be on-screen or inaugural off-screen members of the Frog Squad that are turned
away as
well.
Are they throwing rocks at people?
What?
Are the Frog Squad, like, throwing rocks at people?
No. Not in eyesight.
Not that you would ever
yeah,
find
yeah.
out.
Right.
I'm also imagining there's a lot of, like, I don't know, just, like, the old men of the docks, like, from the Waveless Lake, There's just like a group of them who've come out and been like,
oh, the rudder. Yeah. Mm.
Look at the hole on her. Wow.
Yeah.
What?
No, come on. Come on.
She gets up to.
Sorry,
I had to cut. I had to role play the dad.
That is always
ship down.
That is always a struggle I as GM have is like, how many dumbass random NPCs should I make sure to constantly interject for immersion? Or it's like, hey, maybe we just keep fucking playing the game of Dungeons and Dragons so you can do it.
Yeah.
I just struggle of where I should interject.
I also kind of want James to just get super close, like way past where anybody else did.
Suddenly James the only one.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he's just
by
like,
himself.
Wow.
The awkward just repels back down. It's like, there's a small dwarf child.
Yeah. How did he get on ship?
There's one person remaining. So it is the four of you. It is Vina Calvetta. It is the remaining members of the crew, which is, again, of course, the captain, but also the remaining, just to make sure I say it correctly, the remaining Tims and all of the Joes. Mm-hmm. So you guys are kind of in the, not the external part. You are still kind of walled in, but kind of that exterior part of the city that isn't really as inhabited, has a lot of farmlands, again, has the Bones Manor there. And it is really only you guys in eyesight. Again, other than probably a few people who have now gone out some of the other entrances and are now gawking in different directions. But really, it is just you guys, the crew, and a couple members of the Red Guard, including Vina Calvetta. Vina kind of looks at you guys, isn't really paying too much attention to the rest of the crew, but looks at you guilders, and she says, well, it seems like you guys were successful in getting hold of the Sky Stalker. I assume she is fully operational and will meet your needs.
I think it actually went surprisingly well. Not only do we have the ship, but we also managed to preserve enough of the crew in order to man her. We're still working out some of the details, but we hope that they will be able to follow us and take the ship into the next part of our journey.
The ship itself is airworthy, but some repairs have to be made. However, I don't know if any of us here or any of us that have alive today know how to actually repair this thing.
As soon as you finish saying that, Sel, her eyes go from you kind of up back to the ship, and she said, yes, that makes sense. As you said, I don't know of anyone in the city who has expertise in something like that, but I was going to suggest that we send a few different sorts of experts, magical and otherwise, up, if for no other reason than just to ensure that there are no additional traps, learn as much about the arcane workings as possible, see what opportunities there may or may not be. Frankly, my brother has been really insistent.
Vocal.
There's a few
other
words.
He told me he was psyched about this before we left. I do actually have 4 volumes of notebooks on my initial findings that I was going to have Paul look over.
He would accept that opportunity with gusto.
How long do you think that this analysis might take? I mean, I imagine we need to let some of the city's magical users get on board this thing, check it out, take some notes. But as you know, we're also on a bit of a timeline.
Agreed. I have already made it extremely clear that the goal of these inspections are for safety and not about antiquing.
What about this? We need a little bit of time to recover. I think we need a little bit of time to make sure our affairs are in order before we set sail. Do you think we can get this done within the next 3 days?
Those who are looking will take as much time as I tell them that they have. Your timetable is paramount and supersedes everything else.
I will say that the remaining Tims have been quite helpful in explaining the workings of the ship. They are wonderful engineers and really very proud of their work. Cannot help but share. And man, do we really get along great. So I told them other people who would be interested in their work are coming to pepper them with questions. And they did seem quite excited.
Well, that is good to hear. And that does bring me to the six of you, she says, walking sort of past you guys towards the crew behind you. First of all, my name is Vina Calvetta. I am the head prefect of the Red Guard here in Agmar. Before I let you anywhere near this city, I need you all to understand a few things. First of all, the safety of the city is the only thing that I ultimately care about. You have been tasked by individuals that we trust to ensure that this city continues to be protected. As long as you all share that same goal, we can coexist. I need you to understand that I will not tolerate any extracurriculars while you are here. No unsanctioned smuggling, no other behaviors that anyone in this city would consider criminal while you are under the watch of the Golden Tree. Jail time is not something that we do often here in the city. And so no, our tolerance for such extracurriculars is very, very low, especially in the circumstances that we and the rest of the world find ourselves in right now. The crew hasn't said anything this whole time, and Livingstone chimes in and says, "Aye, we understand the situation we find ourselves in, and we are fortunate enough to find ourselves under the command of a wise and gracious individual." And he gestures down at Checkers.
Vibe check.
you give it a, yeah, give it a, well, what's your passive vibe check?
Very high.
There's a tinge of bitterness, sarcasm, but it is true information.
Checkers chooses to take it at face value.
Yep.
Val would never, ever tell Checkers that Livingstone said a bad word or implied negative feelings towards Checkers because she just couldn't break your Checkers heart like that.
Well, that and we know that Checkers understands that he has a signed pirate card from that captain, which will then exponentially go up in value if no more of them can ever be obtained.
True. And Castron will kind of explain the situation and the agreement that we've made with the pirates.
Vina looks down at Checkers and ever so slightly cocks an eyebrow and says, "Checkers, so you are taking responsibility for these six mortals."
"Yep, that's right, Vina. I'm a changed frog. Responsibility is my middle name."
She kind of opens her mouth as if she's about to say something, then closes it, and then looks around to each of the four of you, or to the rest of you guys, and Kaskrin, for just the briefest of moments, her eyes and yours linger just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
What vibe do you send out in that moment?
It's like we got this. We're keeping an eye on him.
And Vina turns back to Checkers and just gives a nod.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, it's me, Sophie. Do you want more Reckless Attack? Then join our Discord and chat with us in our community. The link for the Discord is in the show notes, or head on over to our website, recklessattack.com. We also have a Patreon. You can listen to our new show, Reckless Snack, and other content if you become a patron. We really appreciate your support, and thank you for listening to the episode.
Well, I will expect a full report on anything that you guys found that you might find valuable to offer to the city or take with you, just for our records. However, there's one important piece that I do not want to gloss over. And she looks at Captain Livingstone, and she says, I want to hear this from you. I am to understand that you have intelligence for us. And he says, oh, that I do. Of high interest, I think, to you and many others. And Vina says, well, you are standing here, you are alive, and you are under the care of four heroes of Agmar. I think it's time for you to deliver that intelligence. Livingstone kind of licks his lips, looks around, looks at each of the four of you.
Val is back to her very intense. She doesn't have camo on her face anymore, but the murderous eyes are back.
Would you like another vibe check? Or are you just going to see what happens?
My passive insight is 18.
Okay. And he then looks back at his crew and faces Vina and the rest of you. He says, well, we were free agents, see, for a whole time. Until we were approached by a certain semi-secret organization that I believe you've heard of, the Pharaohs. We didn't get much information, but we got a standing job. Hit any supply lines going up and down the runic roads. Take what we could, burn it if we had to, just ensure it didn't go or leave anywhere. We said, fine. Lines our pockets. Vina says, well, that's very interesting, but we knew to a degree that you were already doing that. It is interesting information that you were doing it for someone, but is that all? He says, no. We were told that further orders would be coming for a rendezvous. A rendezvous right about here in Agmar. We didn't get a timeline. We just were told to be ready. We could make some extra coin for showing up for something big here at the city.
Is that why you were here in the first place? To meet up with the Pharaohs?
You mean in the area?
In the area, yes.
Oh, no, these are our usual grounds. We have many safe houses around, and, well, he looks kind of off to the skyline and says, well, hunting around here was good as well.
And how were you to be notified that the Pharaohs were looking for you?
Same way that I've seen you all send messages to one another. Voice in the head.
And Checkers is just gonna pat Livingstone on the back and say, well, now that Captain Livingstone is working with us, I'm sure you'll tell us when you get a message, right? And we'll stop the Pharaohs together.
No, I doubt that very much. Not, of course, because I don't hold great fondness for you all and for the future of the Red City. But I signed away the safety and lives of my crew to you when I agreed to all this. If they don't know already, I'm sure that the Pharaohs will find out very soon that we ain't flying their colors anymore.
So what you're saying, though, is they propose a rendezvous near Agmar. So it's possible that an agent of theirs could be in the area.
Or in the city.
Or in the city. If you know anything about them, and not to say I'm an expert, but I think that's a safe bet. I think it'd be a safer bet to say they have both, and to say that they probably have had many of both for many years.
Chaskrin's also, he like looks at Livingstone, takes a minute to think. He's actually going to turn to Selv for a quick second. He's going to like go off to the side and kind of ask, like, what do we know about the Pharaohs? You met them during your tournament arc, right?
Tournament arc.
Yeah.
Yes, during the tournament, yes. They had some kind of exotic poison that they used.
And Steve does not remember a whole lot about them.
As
offhand.
I recall, a lot of mantis and bug-based imagery, including giant clockwork mantis creature. But the long and short of it is that they are a very, very old, again, semi-secret society where people know who they are, or like know of them, but don't actually know what all they do. They are a professional
secret society kind of
correct.
Thing.
Is the idea that they might be the organization that's actually in charge of everything by being behind the people, behind the people, behind the people?
Sometimes, but also sometimes they are information brokers. Again, this is all based off of rumor. This isn't really an area that is well studied or that you guys have direct background in. But the pharaohs could be just middlemen and are often middlemen. Or this could be part of a scheme within a scheme, or they could be hired to be doing certain things, or they could who knows what. But just that they are a shadowy organization with unknowable resources that keep going.
It's big on the insect theme. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I'll tell Cass what I know.
Okay. And then Cass is going to turn kind of back to the group and say, maybe this is something we can look into while we have a bit of time here in the city.
We can definitely brief the Red Guard and give them the information we know, help them while we're here, leave it to them if we haven't figured it out by the time we need to leave.
I can handle that, Vina says. It's concerning information, but I don't know how concerned to be, I guess, just yet. All right. Well, that's useful enough for now. Congratulations to the four of you. And with that, Vina, the Red Guard, and the crew?
Yeah, they've got lodgings.
Okay, so Val's plan is to be like, hey, we are great people. Like,
actually pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. Val's like, all right, I can't murder you. Let's love bomb you.
Yep.
Let's friendship love bomb you to win you over to Agmar.
Mm-hmm.
This could be your home, your base of operations.
You will hate how much you love us.
Yes. Yep.
Mirrors in on it.
So you're saying that you're not going to be making them sleep in the ship with an undead centurion watching them at all times.
If they want to, Val will be extremely disappointed that they didn't take her up on her well-prepared plan of guest lodgings.
Mm.
Complete with like a little manta on their pillow, some creature comforts.
I will ask, where do the 10 of you go?
So I think we gotta get to the guild hall, but Beats meets?
Yeah, yeah.
And Cashman also kind of turns towards Checkers in his little pirate hat, and it's like, yeah, Checkers, what was the plan?
Remind me again, yeah. Checkers. Yeah, what are we doing here? Uh-huh.
So in addition to sort of resupplying and restocking and sort of raiding the guild coffers for any supplies we might need, Checkers actually wants to take Captain Livingstone and the crew on a little tour of the city. And he's doing this by, like, he hands out this long string of rope. And he's like, all right, everyone grab on. We're going on a trip.
Something he learned from the frog squad.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right. Got to keep everyone in line. Make sure they're all, you know, hanging on to the rope at the same time. But it's just Captain Livingstone and his, you know, his crew, the Tims and the Joes.
And your crew.
And my crew, yes. And Checkers is at the front with his rope. holding on.
Little flag.
Yeah, look, a little flag. All right.
Same
all right.
Cartoon frog, I assume.
Yep. And we're just going to walk around the city for a while. You know, we make a stop at Pete's Meats for our midday lunch, get some sandwiches and some jerky. We go stop by the Waveless Lake, you know, cool off our feet for a bit, hang out at the back alleys in the city, the places that only Checkers knows, you know?
Val will try to get and fail to convince Checkers to leave that off the tour as, hey,
that's the best
these
part.
Are criminals.
They'll
maybe
love it.
Don't help them do crime.
I mean, they
definitely
do love it.
You get your contacts. Yeah, like, right. Here's the dealers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's no cameras here. I didn't know.
If you go from this barrel to that box to whatever, no one can see you.
Yeah.
This is a scrying blind spot.
Yeah. So he's going to spend a couple hours doing that. You know, just taking the crew on a field trip.
Can I also add? Because, like, I would like to take them, I assume after a long day in the sun, like, you know, it's been an extensive tour. Like, Castron wants to take them somewhere to get a drink, but he doesn't want to take them to Torts and Ports because there's a high chance they could harsh the vibe. You know?
And you do know that several guard members do often spend some time there.
Yeah, right. But, like, could you imagine bringing, like, a bunch of pirates there and they get, like, super rowdy and drunk, and then you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring them here, and you gotta, like, explain to...
Yep.
I'm not doing that, the whole thing. So, like, I wanna find, like, a seedier bar.
I will say Val did have a conversation with all of them on the proper etiquette of living in, like, a city where there is a lot of unspoken social contracts.
The Joes in particular are finding it a rough transition. Captain Livingstone, or former Captain Livingstone, is, you know, on good behavior throughout the whole thing, asks a few questions. As do the Tims, really, as the engineers. They're asking a lot of...
Val and the Tims are best buds.
They're kind of into it. And the Joes are... They're the kind of the rowdy...
They're the enforcers. I get it.
The rowdy kind of ship crew types. And they're the ones you have to really kind of like, hey, maybe don't take that. Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe stay on the path. Hey, we don't settle arguments through rock fights here.
I keep reminding them like, no, you hold on to the rope.
Yes.
Onto the rope.
And we'll say that CD Bar is towards the Waves Lakes, towards the docks, the hard docks of Agmar are, you know, just like random fishermen people. But before that is the end of the night, Checkers, mm-hmm. I want to ask.
Yes.
So you've shown them all the wonders of the city.
Yes.
All the important things, Pete's Meats, back alleyways, that sort of
Old
thing.
Old Bill.
You show them a very, very large pelican, all the best parts that anyone needs to know. What do you think, what does Checkers think is the highlight? Like, what's the spot where he's like, and to cap it all off, to really speak to these people, to my crew, to show them what I and the city and all of this is about? I show them, oh, guys, here it is.
Dang, what would be a highlight for them?
The Pog Museum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, it's not even a museum. It's someone's private collection.
Yeah.
It's the Harvest Festival, like, through the years, Pogs.
Yeah.
You know,
yes, of course.
I had to collect them all. And Checkers being like, well, hey, last year, we got all of them. Yeah. We won.
How are Pogs stored? Tell me more about this museum, though.
It's like the quarters, like the 50-state quarters.
Right, but like, is it like a museum? Is it like some rich person's like
side room? It is. It is a community.
It's like the Harvest Festival in Pawnee and Parks and Rec, where there is an ongoing like display of history or whatever. But there is also one guy who is the super collector and like has ones that they don't even have. As like official Pogs, he's like, no, this one was one of the misprints actually, and is super rare from the pre-Pentarchy times or whatever.
He's just set up his own display in the community hall.
Yes.
He comes there every day, and it's like, look at my collection.
That is right. That is the canon.
It draws much more of a crowd than the rest of the museum does.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I think one of Checker's favorite places. One of the places that he has the most fun in the city is actually the library. So he's going to take everyone.
Listeners, you can't see my facial expressions. It was
he's like,
pure shock.
There was one.
It's going to be great. And it's one of my favorite places. I hang out there all the time. They have these great rides. The food's fantastic.
The rides are unseen servants, and you are not allowed to bring food in. They don't have food.
And Checkers explains all of this to them. You know, you can read as much as you want. I don't do it very often, but
there's an entire game show section.
Yeah, right. You could if you wanted to. And yeah, so he takes them to the local public library and gets them all signed up with library cards. So he spends some time at the local library.
So at the end of the day, you make your way to the CD bar. Again, as far as CD goes,
it's not like decrepit or anything, but it's just like
it's a good dive bar vibe.
Yeah, it's like we have the bar for like the guards. You know, like that's the one that they frequent. It's like they only can get so like crazy because you know at Torts and Ports, like they can't go like too wild.
Tankards and Teamsters.
Hold on. I'm gonna get.
Give me that name generator. But then there's
it's the dive bar, but it's just like a mermaid. Like
yeah, yeah.
Because you're by the docks, by the waves.
What's the something I can do working with Old Bill, where it's like the logo is a pelican.
It's just called Old Bill's.
Yeah.
And the logo is Old Bill.
Old Bill's Brews.
Okay, so I'm gonna crowdsource this. Let it never be said that I'm not a generous DM. Okay, so either. I was doing a little bit of name generation, a little bit of just ideating in this moment. One of the bar names that got auto-generated was the Copper Heron, but Copper Pelican seems pretty good if we do want to go an Old Bill theme, which is very appropriate. I was also envisioning like the Heavy Bobber with a heavy bobber, but even heavier pores.
I like a heavy bobber.
Cool. Yeah, we'll do the heavy bobber. That sounds fun. So Askren like takes them down to the heavy bobber down by the waveless lake. And this is like the floorboards are a little creaky and the bar is like, you know, it's not super polished and you have like a couple of drinks, but you have them in abundance.
Yeah. And those who would have spent any amount of time at the waveless lake would know that the heavy bobber pays extra to kind of curate this very weathered look inside. Yeah. It is very, very well maintained despite it.
And like Casgrim's not trying to stereotype them. He's not like, this is where you belong, but it's just like, this is where I feel like we would have the most fun, where you don't have to have guards sitting next to the table next to you.
Can one of the patrons of this bar be like one of the fisher people who like helped Val and Castgren when they had gills?
Yeah.
And just make some random comment when they walk in of like, see, you still don't have gills anymore.
Breathe in air.
Absolutely. I mean, and
look,
I think
you breathe in air.
Lands lovers.
Again,
hey.
This is the kind of the other side of the city. So, you know, unless you guys kind of go out of your way to go here, it's not, you know, you have Torts and Ports right there. Why would you need to go anywhere else? But you guys see familiar faces in here. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't spend a lot of time in this particular establishment, there are people you recognize who are sitting here and who recognize you, and as you come in, wave, throw a little joke out, again, give you a little razzin about your gills or lack thereof, and immediately you guys are welcome here. The crew's a little, I mean, let's be honest, the Joes are a little rowdy immediately. Yes, Sophie?
What's the heavy bobbers bar activity? Like, what's their darts? What's their...
I was just thinking about that, and I've got a similar one for you. What I'm thinking is that there is a large, almost like a 2x4, that is kind of like stuck into the ground and like floor to ceiling, and it's like sectioned off by paint or something. Mm-hmm. And basically, you take daggers and you throw them at this 2x4. and essentially, you're trying to get within like the paint stripes, and you get just played to a certain number of points.
Absolutely. It is just scarier darts.
Okay.
I mean, it's cheap. You could replace it pretty easily. And, you know, people generally bring their own daggers in, so it's not like you got to supply them. That's what I was thinking.
I was even thinking there might be a more like Fisher theme kind of thing.
I think also the thing I also had in mind, and again, more dangerous darts is canon, 100%. And we'll say that there's like more less sharp knives, you know, where it's like it goes into wood fine, but it isn't like, ah, let us hand these weapons to these people. But the other one I imagined was that it is, let's say that this is actually one of the places that hangs out over the Waveless Lake a little bit.
Cool.
And they have in the middle of their floor a big hole cut out. Mm-hmm. It has a little bit of, you know, kind of like a raised area so people don't just like trip and fall in all the time. But they have a little like fishing contest. And just like it is every day you see how big of a fish that you can catch. And then there's a chalkboard up next to it where you can write down your name and the size of the fish that you caught. And you get a free drink, whoever wins it. And so you guys are, you know, able to kick back after a little while. And again, the Joes, I mean, you know the Joes.
I just wanted them to have an activity.
Absolutely.
That's why I asked.
They are hard drinking immediately. Go ask immediately for grog. This place does have grog. Agmar's not really a grog town, mm-hmm. but, you know, they have a vibe to keep up. And the Joes are in it. The Tims take a little bit longer to warm up. And eventually, things have loosened up a little bit. You all find yourselves at your table. You've thrown a few back. Not so much that you're, you know, ridiculous, but, you know, cozy. Eventually, Captain Livingstone stands up, pushing back his chair. Big old classic screechy chair on wood floor sounds. And he looks across the table at all of you, and he holds his, obviously a tankard, or whatever is the appropriate thing here.
He's got a full bucket.
Yeah, probably. And he says, "Well, I suppose a toast is in order. To an interesting partnership." And he raises his tankard up. And all the Tims and Joes dutifully immediately raise their tankards. Like, oh, yeah.
Val, of course, will raise a glass.
With his singular kind of reddish mechanical eye, looks at each of you.
Selv is holding the mug, like, with his whole hand through the handle, and just kind of raises it and nods to the captain, but doesn't say anything.
A partnership!
And Catherine will join the toast and say, "An interesting partnership, yes."
Silvertooth immediately then just does one of those kind of ugly chugs where some of the beer or mead or whatever is kind of going out down the sides of his mouth into his beard, and does afterwards. He says, "All right, next one's on me." And he goes, and the crew cheers. He's like, "Yeah, Captain, former Captain, yeah, yeah."
And actually, Selv will just kind of like lean over to Cass and just be like, "Actually, I think he got most of that first one on him."
And with that, we'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Can I propose a wrinkle in the situation?
Sure.
I am envisioning... This is out of table. I kind of like the idea of like James's dad being the Silvertooth Livingstone. And
I think James has to go on his own journey to find out that information.
Okay, that's fair. I was imagining like his mom is like there and then like...
holds up his boy.
Yeah, like throw something at him. It's like, "You bastard, you left me." And now,
and it's James that has been thrown.
I love that. We got to stay on track.
Yeah. we got to get to the end of this.
We got other stuff.
Cool.
But
put that. That is a.
I'll say that later.
The next checker side quest. Yes. With, what are the kids called?
Reunited. The Frog Squad.
The Frog Squad.
It's finding James's dad.
It's finding James's dad. Yeah.
Just imagine that in a podcast feed is the search for James's dad. Or what does. Okay.
Most popular episode ever. Yeah, right? I think.
1 billion correct. Views.
We have to stay focused.